This is Sunday's Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So, pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. Hello and welcome to episode 70 of Sunday Supplement. It's a beautiful morning. The rain is pissing it down. And
it is
I can
drizzling.
Hear the wind. Oh no, that's Izzy. Sorry, not the wind.
Oi.
Hello.
So I got the news as well this week, and it's got the Twilight Special, which is New Moon Collector's Edition, and it has it's full of puns like "bite me" and "hunky like the wolf," and there's all sorts of other things. There's a whole article about a woman saying, "I saw my own death," and it's like premonitions and stuff, and it's actually got a little clip from Chris French, and it's brilliant. And
Well, do you know what?
What?
It's irrelevant.
What?
Because I have done something brilliant.
What?
Admittedly, it's born out of the fact that I got the people this week.
Oh, I'm so going to win.
Well, here we go. The people is so bad this week that I decided that we should get Professor Richard Wiseman in to have a chat.
What?
Yeah.
You can't have Richard Wiseman as a pullout.
Yeah, no, I'm offering up Richard Wiseman as my pullout.
That's just not fair. Oh.
Ha 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 ha. So you got to put on your posh frock and your nice shoes.
No. I'm going to go in a t-shirt with beer spilt down it and one sock. That's it. That's all I'm wearing. Sod you, Simon.
Not even pants?
Nope.
We should not tell Professor Richard Wiseman that you're sat there in no pants.
Okay, we won't.
Right.
As long as we also don't tell him that you're actually a hamster.
So basically, I've won this week because I've got Richard Wiseman. So should we crack on and have a chat with him?
I hate you. Simon cheats. Simon is a cheater.
No, you said I was a hamster.
Oh, yeah. Well, you run quite fast on that wheel.
So we're joined now by Professor Richard Wiseman, who is a psychologist, magician and author of The Luck Factor, Quirkology, and his latest book is 59 Seconds. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right, actually. I'm a little bit sleepy because I had a late night, and this is very early in the morning for me. I can't believe we're recording this at 6:30 a.m. But I'm a little bit sleepy, but other than that, I'm very, very well.
How did your seance go last night?
It was a late night, and we did four of them, and a couple of them were very good. Got people screaming in the dark. One, I must admit, was a bit on the quiet side, so we were holding hands and trying to contact the living. they were good. They were always fun because we're in pitch darkness and all these luminous objects move around. Some skeptics showed up last night, and I think they walked away believers. I'm not 100% certain, but it was great. Yeah, it was all right, but it's a late night, so
do people turn up thinking they're
real?
Yeah,
people do turn up. Yeah. We did it once when no one did, but that's a really quiet night. Not as quiet as one of the groups last night, but yeah, it was pretty quiet.
But surely if it is just you at a seance, you're not really going to be on your own.
People do arrive on their own, but they always leave with a spirit extra because we're very giving like that.
But do people turn up thinking they're real?
I think part of the fun of it is that, and I think this is what attracted me to it in the first place, that when you go to a magic show, you know it's a magic show. When you go to, I don't know, some spiritualist church, you know the people doing it claiming it's genuine. With the seance, what I like about it is this ambiguity played right down the line. So I never really say what it is. I kind of say that some of it's psychological, but, you know, who knows? And so people do come in, and some of them are obviously skeptics, some of them believe, some people don't know quite what to make of it. And the idea is always that they go out just as confused as when they walked in. So the whole thing is played down the line in the sense of inducing ambiguity. Because we used to do it where we'd say, you know, here's the seance, and then this is how it's all done, and this is the audio tricks we're playing, and this is where the suggestion kicks in, and so on. And it absolutely killed it. So yeah, now we just play it in a very kind of ambiguous way.
Is that more fun for you as well?
It's more challenging because you have to watch your language all of the time, because you never want to say it's genuine, you never want to say it's fake, and it is kind of fun to see people put different interpretations on the same event. So we've had it where people have walked out and gone, you know, that was obviously a magic show and I can't believe anyone is fooled by it, and then someone else walking up in the same seance has gone, do you have to cleanse the room spiritually after you've used it? You know, which we do.
How do you...
Well, it's scouring pads.
Oh, okay.
Just to take as much of the spirit. So
I'd like to take a scouring pad to John Edward. I think that would be quite fun. Colin Fry.
I'm saying nothing. Such individuals. No, it's great fun. I love doing it. We've never made a penny doing it. It's sort of economically, it's the thing we always lose money on. But it's so much fun working in pitch darkness. And there was a slightly different team on last night. So it was the first time some of them had done it. So it's great. I was doing them in Manchester a couple of nights ago, and last night was London.
Have you got any more lined up?
Nope. Very, very rarely. Very rarely do them. They are such a pain in the backside to stage. So it's only about once or twice a year I'll get all the kit out, dust it off, and contact the dead.
You see, having absolutely no magical background other than dropping things when I tried, I just can't imagine. Surely a seance is just a room with some people sat in it in the dark going om, or even a trumpet occasionally if you're Colin Fry.
That's right. Well, you've eaten a lot of beans before you come along. It's far more than that. The new stuff is all mental mediumship. So it's as you say, people standing there kind of going, oh, is there a John in the room, and so on. In the olden days, it was physical mediumship. And the reason that went away was basically the invention of infrared photography, because suddenly you couldn't sort of fake it in quite such an easy way. So we turned back the clock. All the methods we use are traditional Victorian methods. It's myself in the room with a group of people with lots of luminous objects on the table in front of us, and they, on a good night, move around. And we have all the spirit touches and the table wrapping and all of that. And it's to give people some idea of what it would be like to do that, because you're very vulnerable. You're in total darkness. You're holding on to the people either side of you. There's no way of kind of getting out of the room if anything happens. It's very, very intimate. So it's great from a performance point of view. So it's kind of fun.
The other thing was your blog this morning. You posted that count beep video whereby the count is singing and they've beeped out the word count, but your brain starts to play tricks on you and you start to hear the word. I'll beat that out, obviously. But
So, instead of hearing the word beep, you hear the word beep.
Yeah, if I beep out the word count now, everyone's going to think I'm being rude, but I'm not. But you were saying that some people were doubting that was genuine.
Yeah, it's really strong. So from a psychological perspective, assuming that the clip is as it claims, basically it's top-down processing. You bring this expectation to hear the word, you're going to beat me out now, I hear the word fuck on it. So you're hearing the F and the K, and I don't think they're present at all. So some people it's so strong. It's some people on the blog this morning, and this is what's great about the people that come to my blog, so they go away and do things. They're saying, oh, I'm going to get the same clip and bleep it out and see whether we get the same thing happening again. But I think actually the clip is as it claims, because I've seen it done with other clips, but because this is Sesame Street, it makes it much funnier. It just shows how much you're filling in these kind of gaps in your mind.
They have actually got the original clip on YouTube and you can watch it, and it is exactly the same song, which is really quite cool.
Well, we could try it now, can't we? If we all start saying count a lot in the next few minutes and beep it out, I'll actually genuinely beep out the whole word and we'll start to see if we hear the F and the K.
Simon, off, okay?
I mean,
let's just crack on. You.
The other question that was keeping me awake last night was, why do I read things that make me angry? And do people enjoy being angry about what they read?
What are you doing?
How are they going to make you angry?
Simon, Richard is not your therapist.
It's fine, Simon. If you want to tell the group about any sexual problems you've got.
Any?
Any. That's right. Assuming you've had it at least once. That's a good question. Why do you read things that make you angry? There is something about that, isn't there? Where if you saw new evidence for homeopathy or something, you would click on it, even though you know that the blood pressure is going to go through the ceiling.
I mean, I always seem to be drawn to the articles that I know are going to get a rise out of me, almost. I'm not talking about sexual problems, but, you know, if I get a rise out of them, then...
A friend of mine is a Freudian psychologist, and so she's always talking about sexual problems. You can just say, today. She goes, that's disgusting. It's really good. Everything is a sexual problem to her. Why do...
Is it a case of just feeling slightly righteously indignant, a kind of almost slightly superior.
I'd say it was Foucauldian, isn't it? It's sort of saying anything that goes against what you believe affirms your own beliefs and makes you reassured in what you do believe, doesn't it?
I don't know, because people search out, they don't like disconfirming evidence. They like to ignore it. I do think they like to look at it. Because in a way, disconfirming evidence is more valuable than confirming evidence. I mean, certainly from a scientific sort of rational viewpoint, it is. It's actually handier to know, or more informative to know that you're wrong, rather than to constantly search out stuff where you're right. So there might be some weird thing which sort of says, kicks in and says, well, this thing seems to run against what I believe, but it's worth a few moments of my time just in case it's true. Because the problem is, it's probably not true. So you get there and then you get all angry, and you get even angrier because you've now wasted a couple of minutes of your time looking at the article.
So have you brought an article along that's made you angry or sexually aroused?
Both. Which is, the thing is, I get sexually aroused when I get angry. Which is very, very bad for your love life.
An angry tumescent. I don't know if that's...
I've brought an article along because it made me laugh, I think, more than anything else. It's the Telegraph article about the use of remote viewing in medicine, which as a combination is just, you know, they get remote viewing in the military. And you think, well, if you want to waste military dollars on remote viewing, that's up to you. And then you get remote viewing with police work, and you think, well, sure, most policemen don't take it seriously, and maybe they just sort of makes them just look in places they haven't looked for bodies and so on. And then you get remote viewing in medicine, where the idea is that someone's ill, and these sort of bunch of six people around the country who've got no talent other than the ability to kid themselves, they have some kind of psychic ability, are going to look inside your body and tell you what's wrong with you.
Oh, well, they literally view inside you. It's not, wow. So they go, you've got liver damage or...
Oh, yeah.
Blimey.
Yeah, they use their amazing abilities to go deep inside you and tell you what's wrong.
It sounds brilliant.
To sit in front of you would have no idea. So yeah, it's great. You know, basically, not only are you ill, but then you are you failed to be helped by a group of people with delusional beliefs.
Wow.
Which is what you'd want if you were ill. I know I would. If I was in hospital, I'd go, no, I don't want any MRI scans. Get those remote viewers on the case. That's what I want.
And just for our readers who aren't familiar with remote viewing, it is, as you suspect, looking at the little control on your television, just from different angles. So sitting on the sofa, looking down at it, looking from the television's perspective at that tip-tap.
Exactly what it is.
Yeah. I presume that all the sort of scientific tests of remote viewing have always been terrible.
The early ones, which was the sort of early SRI stuff, was fairly badly controlled. David Marks, who did a very nice critique of it, they had the problem with the judging side of it, such that David Marks could take the transcripts and work out which targets they related to, even without any kind of alleged remote viewing help, because there were cues in the transcripts themselves. He called it remote judging. So that was a problem. And then it got taken over by another group, and their stuff wasn't very good, and actually I've critiqued that because I think the reports on it are very sloppy. I think some of the Jean people did some stuff, and that had some errors in it as well. It's a pretty sloppy literature. But of course, what's great is the military then go and spend $12 million on it, you know, and some policemen are open to it, and now some medics are open to it, because that's what you want off the back of a really sloppy literature.
So what is it that kind of draws us to Wu, do you think? Is it just because it sounds, it's exotic, we know it's fictional, but we like to play along with the story, or...?
Well, I've kind of got a new theory about this, which I don't think I've spoken about before publicly.
Exclusive pull-out.
Here's my theory. It's not very well-formed, this theory.
Shouldn't worry about it, our podcast's not very well-formed.
You might have to edit this up a bit. But here's my idea, which is that if you take optical illusions, the reason why most of them work is because you're making shortcuts all of the time in terms of visual processing. And if you didn't do that, you wouldn't be able to perceive the world, because you'd spend all your time sort of like trying to work out if the wall in front of you is genuine, and it's best to just assume it is and then get on with life. Mm. So optical illusions work because they trip up these kind of shortcuts. So in a sense, the optical illusions are just showing you how wonderful your visual system is. And I'm wondering whether, to some extent, the paranormal beliefs are the price we pay for having the ability to think that amazing things might be possible and might be true, because to put a person on the moon is an incredible idea. And really what we should do is go, no, we just can't do that. That's a bridge too far. But we don't. We believe in it. We have hope. And it makes us work towards that goal and makes it a possibility. With the paranormal, it's not true. But the fact that we could believe it's true, it's the price we pay for all the other stuff that turned out to be true that we can achieve. So cast in that way, actually, the paranormal will always be with us. And in a weird way, it's actually quite a good thing, because although it turns out not to be true, it is the ultimate sort of human hope, as it were.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
The need to believe here gives you hope. That, you know, if you think we can save the planet from climate change, you know, the fact that we think we can do it means that, okay, let's all give it a go to the extent that we are. And then that is a really weird thing, that you would sort of try and change your future in the face of overwhelming evidence that you're probably not going to be able to do something. And the paranormal, you know, maybe telepathy exists or you can look into the future. Those things probably are not true, but the fact that we sort of believe they might be is, again, part of that same system. It's producing hope in a better world, or at least a radically different world. And so it just might be the price we pay for putting a man on the moon or developing medicines and so on.
So what you're saying, it's all Barack Obama's fault for giving us hope?
That's right. The whole thing is hinged on him. So I haven't really thought it through, as you can tell from that rather garbled.
No, I thought that made a lot of sense. And the idea that we couldn't develop anything, any idea, without having the faculty to believe that we can do it. You know, that's what drives science, isn't it? And that's what drives any kind of invention, and what drives literature as well.
Come with me and you'll see through this world of your imagination.
Is he singing? That's we'll never a good thing.
We could have done that in the séance last night.
That would have been very haunting.
If I'd just turned up singing, you'd have, you know, been scared.
I'd have had shit myself.
Popped. Yeah.
Yeah. That's just during the second one.
Did they work that out on Mythbusters, if there was a tone where you do just poo your pants?
No, that's the brown note stuff. You can't do that. No, that's the infrasonic weaponry.
I think one of my lecturers once told me, and I'm sure it's absolutely untrue, they made a sonic cannon that could disintegrate people, but the Americans were so stupid that they forgot that sound could go both ways, so anyone stood behind it would get bluffed as well.
I don't think that's true. So I don't like shattering the wine glass with the voice is also a myth. You can't do that either.
What about negative sound? I've heard this, right? If you play a bit of sound, it will cancel out another bit of sound, and then you have silence.
Yeah, that's how noise cancelling headphones work.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I wish I could do that with you. So should we play a quick game of Article or Farcical and let Richard get on with his life?
Well, I laugh when you refer to as my life, yes.
This week's Article or Farcical is from News of the World, which I'm sure you've read, Richard, because it's your magazine.
I read it every single, whenever it comes out, day, week, whatever. Yep.
Yeah, it's a Sunday supplement, so well done.
Okay, thank you. That's good, yes.
But he's a professor. Right, so, dear readers, dear Simon and dear Richard, we have a game which is called Article or Farcical, where I read out four articles, three of which are from the News of the World, one of which I have made up, and it's up to you to guess which one is the article and which ones are the farcicals. So, first one, all the fun of the pharaoh.
Okay.
Clever.
Yeah. Sex, lies, and sticky tape.
Okay. Is that a bondage thing?
That's about the band JLS.
Who?
JLS.
That sounds like an insurance broker's.
We didn't find out what the Pharaoh's one was, though.
Oh, that's true.
What is the Pharaoh's one?
It's Holiday in Egypt.
Right.
Oh. It's really exciting, isn't it? Right. Next one. A peeping tome.
A peeping tome?
Yeah.
What's that about?
It's a glamour model's biography.
Okay.
And finally, is this an article or is it a farcical? Summit special for all the family. Special for all the family. And that's about climbing a mountain on holiday.
It's not about going to a summit then. But
no.
A summit, not a summit.
No, it's not taking your family on an EU summit, no.
That would be more fun than going up a mountain.
Would it?
No. I don't know what I'm talking about.
International conferencing.
Okay, so we got the Pharaoh thing, the JLS, the tome, and the summit.
Sex, lies, and sticky tape. Don't say JLS.
Oh, yeah, sex, lies, and sticky tape. Okay.
Go on, then.
Oh, right. oh, no. Sorry.
No, make Simon go first, because Simon is rubbish at this game.
Yeah, then just choose what I don't choose.
Exactly.
Yes, okay.
I'm going to go with Sex, Lies and Sticky Tape. I think that's something you've pulled out of your bottom.
Oi!
Well, you do keep all of those things up your bottom.
I do, including the use of the world.
I'm going to go with A Peeping Tome.
And you see, that is why Richard is a professor and Simon is a dick, right? Well done, Richard. You're completely correct. I made up a Peeping Tome.
Yeah. Far too long looking at News of the World. That's the truth of the matter.
That is it, isn't it? You read it cover to cover and you noticed what was missing.
See, I'm very, very competitive. So I spent the last month just writing down all the headlines. I've got them in front of me now, so I could just search them when you said that.
You've got a little database going. Nice.
A database there. Yeah. News of the World shit headlines.
Well, thank you ever so much for joining us, Richard. It was an absolute pleasure, and hopefully you'll come again.
I'll take your part.
That's not a sex problem again.
I was going to say, this whole thing has been just full of innuendo. Thank you very much for having me. And yes, of course, I would love to return another time and let us chat further about these issues.
It's also worth saying that you do a podcast called Afternoon Tea with Richard Wiseman, which you haven't updated in ages, but it's very good.
It's not going to be updated. No, it's not going to be updated. That was it.
That was it.
I did it when I was up at the Edinburgh Festival, although I might do, and I'm touring a lot in January with the new book in America, so I might do another little group of them as I go around America. That's it for the afternoon tea thing. That's all you're getting.
Oh. That's your lot.
But I want more cake.
Well, you can have more cake. What's your favourite cake?
Probably, actually, if I'm honest, it's those little fondant fancies.
Oh, no, like really?
Really?
I really like them.
So you've disgusted us both.
Yeah, I don't think anyone liked those. They're really sugary.
I know, but maybe that's just because what I want now. I quite like those big, you know, Italian cakes, which are really plain, that you dip in coffee. They're great.
Yeah, they're good.
Those big,
they're
puffy
good.
Ones.
Yeah. So, I'll give you those ones, but you're not having the fun.
We've got a professor of psychology on, and you're talking to him about cake, Isabel.
Yes, well, shut.
Thank you very much, Richard.
Pleasure. Have fun.
Thanks, Richard. Bye.
Bye.
Time to decide then who has the superior supplements this week, and for once, it's me.
It's not your own personal supplement. You didn't find him in a Sunday newspaper. You found him on the internet, which isn't the same. And I've got lovely articles.
Aww, what a lovely bunch of articles you didn't get to produce.
I've got like black magic, so you can dress up like a vampire and be all cool for Halloween-y type thing, even though it's over. And like Where to Go Vancouver, so you can pretend that you're in Twilight.
I got Professor Richard Wiseman.
you cheat. I mean, it's just cheating.
Well, it's true, but it is better than me talking about the people.
Yeah, because you and the people are so disconnected.
The people was terrible this week. It really was properly bad, honestly. Don't ever buy the people, because it's like drinking a cup of coffee that's got neither coffee nor a cup. And the News of the World is no better, I bet.
No, that's not true!
If you want to write to us and comment on anything that...
Yeah, I don't think you should comment on the fact that when you open your Sunday newspaper, it's not often that Richard Wiseman just flops out.
We're back on the sexual dysfunction again, so let's
stop. We are a bit, yeah.
It's sundaypodcast@hotmail.com. Visit our website at sundaysupplement.com, our Facebook group, and you can Twitter us, but you'll find all that on our website.
You can find Afternoon Tea with Richard Wiseman on iTunes as well. We'll have a link to it on our site, as well as all of his thousands and thousands of blogs and thousands of books and thousands of hundreds and thousands, which he sprinkles all over the internet like some sort of giant internet cake.
All this talk of cake is just making me hungry.
I know.
So we'll see you next week. Bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
You can take your posh frock off now.
Yeah, f*** off. Count off, Simon. Just f*** off.
You're such a count.
No, you can't say such a count. You've got to off and die.